Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We're so excited to have you with us tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish time. But we're here to have a good time in the Lord, to come and reason together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, having a wonderful time with the Word. And so we ask you to join us. As always, we begin with devotion, and we'll start off with a prayer. We'll have song, we'll have scripture, intercessory prayer, and then we'll go into the study. We'll start off with prayer. God, we come before you now, and we just ask that you would lead, guide, and direct us, Lord. Lord, that you would hear our plea as we are striving to understand the girdle of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. So, Lord, as we come before you and sit at your feet, we ask that you might open our spiritual eyes so that we might see. You might open our hearing, as you often say, that he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And we are sitting, waiting, anticipating on the revelation knowledge that you will give. We thank you, O God, for being with us, for walking with us, for encouraging us, and being our Abba, being our Jehovah Jireh, everything we need. And so tonight, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving as we enter to the study so that we can be more like you and transform our lives. We thank you in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to have our song by Fred Hammond, No Weapon Formed Against Me Shall Prosper.
No weapon formed against me.
Say no weapon, word.
my side, for the snares they have set will not succeed.
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Thanks.
I'm sorry, I was talking. I guess nobody heard me.
No.
I was on mute. I'm sorry. So my question, is there anyone who would like to do the intercessory prayer tonight? Or if not, I'll do it if no one desires. Brett or Jerry or Miss Shirley, anybody want to do it? Okay. Then I will. So at this time, Is there anything that anybody would like to lift up? Praise concerns, praise reports, or prayer concerns?
This is Shirley. I'd like to lift up a friend of mine who had knee replacement today, and with her speedy recovery, that everything went well for her. Her name is Linda Clemens, and also like to thank God for his grace and mercy throughout our lives and then to enable us to be able to do Bible study every week. And I just praise him and thank him.
Amen. This is Brett.
Amen. We would go ahead, Brett.
This morning I had my first face-to-face appointment with my doctor from VA, and it didn't come out to be very good news, but it looks like my kidneys are starting to deteriorate. So she's cutting back on my diabetes medicines, metformin, stuff like that. And she gave me some medications, hopefully to help my kidneys and to keep me around for a long time. And I've started notifying everybody. So all I ask is for your prayers, because I know God is able.
Amen.
And
amen.
No matter what the devil tries to throw at me, I'm prepared for it.
Amen.
And in case God has something else different for me, I'm prepared for death also. That doesn't scare me. I know God's got a place for me. So just keep me in your prayers.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. Is there anyone else that has a praise report or prayer request? Get off mute. I know everybody's on mute, so make sure you take yourself off of mute.
This is Joan in Maine. Good evening, everyone.
Hey, Joan.
How you doing, Joan?
Doing well. Thank you very much. My pondering and praying is for the whole world, because every time I see the message, I mean, the reading the book as well as looking at the news, you become so speechless the way the world is all about now. And it's just exactly what we read about the Revelation. So praying for those people to recognize that God is very gentle and very slow in processing, and what he really wanted to reach out for everybody else to recognize that he is the only key and he is the God, the Creator, and praying for everybody. And yes, I agree for all those people that who believe in the Lord, and God is there. Forgiving and loving, and he will be protecting us, all those who believe. So I pray for all those people that are lost, and then those who are living, especially in California, my family. And the good praises that I like about is that my family is now reaching out, that they sincerely feel that it is now, it is time to repent, recognize, and believe, and be ready.
Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that has a praise report that want to thank God for giving them opportunities, new life? Woke them up this morning. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I can't just not praise God. So I want to praise the Lord, because I can't help him. I can't help but thank God because God didn't have to wake me up. But thank the Lord because he chose to help me as I was driving on the highway to make it home and to protect me from all hurt, harm, danger. I just want to thank the Lord tonight because he didn't have to keep me from having COVID. And I just want to thank the Lord because he didn't have to wake me up this morning. He didn't have to give me an opportunity to pray. He could have said, that's it. I'm done. You know, come on home. And for those who don't know the Lord, not sure and have a relationship, you know, the time is short. And so you got to recognize, as John was saying, that, you know, God is the only thing that can help you right now. And so that's the encouragement that we share with you, that you would have a personal relationship with him before it's too late. And so I just want to praise him. I want to thank him because I know I got eternal life. I want to jump up and down because if the nuclear bomb were to fall right now, I can say hallelujah. I'll be with him in a second. And I'll be jumping up and down with my white robe on, my white shoes, standing on the parchment of heaven, going, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. I'll be up there with the 24 elders, praising him, going, thank you, Lord, hallelujah, holy, 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 thou art mighty. Thank you, Lord, hallelujah. So I just want to give God the glory. I want to praise his name. I want to thank God that
amen.
God's been good.
It didn't have to be.
I don't deserve nothing. Nothing about me. But nothing but grace and mercy kept me. I'm a sinner saved by grace. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else have any prayer? Thanks, praise. If not, we're going to go on. So, Lord, we come before you right now. And we just ask that you would bless everyone under the sound of my voice, that you would bless those who spoke and those who didn't speak. You would meet every need of the participants on the Bible study, every need. And Lord, we just want to thank you because you've been so good. You've been so good to us, far better than we've been to ourselves. And because we know who you are and whose we are, we're just shouting right now, saying thank you. Lord Shirley has said that Linda Clemens went for a knee replacement, and we just ask that grace and mercy follow her and that she be blessed and that her healing would be a quick recovery and that you would let her know that you never leave her nor forsake her and that you're close by and will stay there. You never leave her. And Brett has said, you know, Lord, he's got kidney failure, according to what the doctor said. But, Lord, you got the last report. All I know is that you are the one who's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the one that set the stars in the sky, and you're the one that breathed into us the breath of life. You're the one, oh, God, the doctor just doing the human thing that he knows. You know, you can blink in the eye and the kidneys can be 100% healed. You can do anything, oh God. And so we leave that up to you because we know you're miraculous. We know that you can dry up a river so that we can walk across. So if you can do that, it ain't nothing but the blinking breath. Kidneys are whole and healed.
Yes, Lord.
And so we
claim
that we can come to you and Abba. You would give us exceedingly abundantly above anything we ask for. So we are asking for healing in the name of Jesus. We are asking for a good report from any types of procedures or therapies. Trust in you. We don't have a thing to do with it. But what we do know is that you, oh God, are the one with all the power.
Yes, Lord.
And all the we give you all the glory because we know who you are. And so we claim victory in the name of Jesus. And then, yes, Lord, Joan has said, Joan has lifted up and said, Lord, there are people in the world who need you. Thank you, Lord, for John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
I claim
that. So if there's somebody today,
yes, Lord,
we just ask that you come and you participate and that you join us and come to know the Lord in your person, that you would understand that he died on Calvary's cross, that you might be made free and could walk back and be in right relationship with God. And so if you want that tonight, please be attentive and ask the Lord to speak to your heart so that you can accept him and be set free. Lord,
yes,
we come
Lord.
To you now. We lay these petitions at your feet. As your children, what child would ask his dad for a fish that would give him a snake? And so that's your word, Lord. We're using your word to speak with you, to talk with you, to commune with you, because we know you honor all your promises. And it's in the word that said, you know, whose report we gonna believe? I believe the Lord. And so we come tonight laying it down at your feet, trusting that you, O God, would do a miracle in the lives of your people. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray. Amen. It's done.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. It is done.
Amen.
So, if y'all ready, let's go. Who's on the call tonight? We want to get a roll call. But before we do that right quick, let me remind you guys, you all have to remember to, if you're in the studio, not to use a speakerphone. And if you would please put yourselves on mute until you get ready to talk. But you got to remember to take it off mute. I just did it. You got to remember to take it off mute. And so many times we often forget, so if we're a little hesitant, we may remind you, take it off mute. Be prepared. If somebody's talking and we're here to communicate and the Bible tells us, come let us reason together, we understand we're not going to all agree. But we all come with different perspectives, and we all come loving the Lord and seeking to hear from our Lord and Savior so that we can grow and be transformed. So we're excited tonight. Well, I just got to tell y'all that last week we started talking about the girdle of truth, and it was so nice. It was so much fun. And let me tell y'all just a little. Oh, I almost forgot about roll call. Oh, I got all excited. Okay, who's on the line tonight? I'm sorry. I was gone. Who's on the line tonight?
Shirley from Maryland.
Brother
Shirley from
Bates.
Maryland. Brother Carter from Ohio. We miss you, Brother Carter. We're glad you're here. Who else is on the line?
Thank you.
Laurie
from
Maryland.
Okay, we got... Joan from Maine, and we got Laura, and I know,
Brett.
I don't know, I think, I see Jerry's number. Brett, Jerry, are you there?
Yeah, Jerry from Maine.
Okay.
Amen.
All righty then, did I leave anybody out? Margaret called and said she would not be here tonight. They have babies that they're dealing with, so would you please lift up a prayer for Margaret and remind us when we close to make sure we lift them up in prayer as well. Eric,
Amen.
Has anybody heard from Eric? Don't know if he's coming tonight or not, but we will keep all of them in prayer. Okay, so I hope if there are other people on the line, I see you. You do not have to introduce yourselves or say anything, and as long as you want to be there, you're more than welcome. And join in whenever you feel comfortable. But we're getting ready to go. Let's go, let's go. So last week, we started talking about the girdle, the belt of truth. And I just want to restate some things that, you know, I want to read from Chuck Swindoll's writing. He says, wearing a protective belt around the middle is not a new idea at all. Ancient Roman soldiers wore heavy leather belts that in some cases were almost as wide as a woman's girdle from the mid-1900s. That had me laughing. That they would compare it to a girdle. That was funny to me. But it made me realize that it had to cover some of the groin area all the way up to under the breastbone. And you know why? It's because this is a sword fight that they're having. You know, they're not playing with, you know, little bitty knives or, you know, they dealing with swords that are extremely sharp, and they understand that this is related to the truth. So the truth was assigned to the lower abdomen, and somebody's making a noise, and the abdomen is the most vulnerable area in the sword fight. And so people would die two different ways. They die from uncontrollable bleeding, or they would die from infection from the wound, and that would lead to death. So we have to be ready, because the girdle of truth protects the organs. That's the digestion of food, that's the elimination of waste, and it deals with reproduction. Three things we need to be mindful of: digestion of food, elimination of waste, and reproduction. And what I liked about what Charles said was this. He says, this is the belt of truth. So we got to know what to take into our lives, and we got to know what to eliminate. Whoa, that's deep. Come on, y'all. I know we're going to have some discussion on this. We got to know what to take into our lives. Now, see, especially those of us, you know, those of y'all who marry, you know, maybe you don't have the same issue, but it's other areas you got to know what to take in and not take in on, and to eliminate. It's folks that will say things to you, your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, people you trust that can break your heart. But it says clearly you got to know what to take in and what to eliminate. And sometimes you got to know what kind of people to allow into your space. And that's what it's saying. And you got to know which ones to let go. Well, somebody.
Amen.
Because the truth is the filter. It's the filter for perception, how you perceive things. It's the filter for ideas. It's the filter for the dreams that we have. And we have to use truth to do its task of separating and clarifying. So if you aren't sure about what's true and what's a lie, that means you're confused, and we know who's the author of confusion. Come on, somebody, who will mess with our decisions, mess with our choices, create lack of clarity. But God wants us to be clear, to focus, and be powerful. And there's this definitive authority and clarity that you get when you use God's truth. Come on. Line up everything with God's truth. And that's what he's trying to encourage us. We take into our lives truth, the things we think, the things we believe, and then we adopt those things. And that's what we live on. And what are the things we eliminate? Anything that's untruth. And we do it quickly, not, well, let me see, I'm going to think about it. I might want to play with that for a little while. No, you don't take any time. You say it's done. Bye. Let it go. Let it go. Now, is that hard for some of us? I ain't going to lie. It's hard sometimes. But it's probably hard because the enemy's involved. So let's look at what it's talking about. It says the relationship with organs of the reproductive part. Wow, I was thinking, what do you mean by that? Well, everything that is birthed is done so in relationship. I thought, wow, that's deep. So you got to know which relationships are based on God's truth versus those that are rooted in lies. And I got to thinking, you know, we are relational people. We are a we before we were actually I. In the womb, we were we before we were even I. So we got to look at our relationships are based, have to be based on honesty. They have to be based on integrity, on purity, on, and we have to be real and authentic and vulnerable, sharing mutually, genuine love and respect. Now, I done scared somebody now. Because, see, when it gets like that, we like, I'm going to push them back a little bit because I ain't wanting to get that close. I ain't wanting to share that much with nobody. Why do we struggle with that? Anybody? Why are we so fearful of those type of relationships that challenge us to be vulnerable and to mutually love and share genuinely with respect? Why are we afraid of those? Anybody?
Afraid of being hurt.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to be hurt. We don't want to take a risk because we've been hurt before somewhere. And that's what the enemy will do. When we get hurt, he takes it and uses it to flash back at us all the time. Remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this, remember this.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if we don't have the kind of relationship that's based on honesty, integrity, and purity, and genuine love and respect, then we have relationships based on a lie. Now, I don't know about you, but those relationships don't last either. I have a friend of mine who got married, and he actually lied to the woman that he was going to marry. And their relationship, their marriage was based and rooted in that lie. And guess what? Yeah. They ended up with a divorce because you can't have a relationship based on a lie that's going to last.
Right.
Some options and opportunity to share the truth about what you know versus saying, you know, we can't lie. But we have to expand the opportunity to be close to God. We have to expand the opportunity to be truthful. We have to get rid of anything that is not authentic and walk in truth. And that's what God wants us to do, all the alliances we have. I don't know about y'all, but I've learned in my older life, anything that is not true and open, it's not going to last. It's deceptive.
Right.
It has an element of the enemy that's involved. And you can bet he'll use every bit of it to create problems, to wedge in distrust. So you have to start off telling the truth. You know, even those of us who had previous relationships, you know, and you meet somebody, you got to tell folks the truth. Because they're going to find out. And if what you presenting is not the truth, then their relationship is going to die. It's going to die.
It's going to die.
It's going to die. So that's why he's telling us. He doesn't want us to live in a lie. Because the truth is linked to what we take in our lives. So we want to have the kind of relationships that are forged on something solid, right?
Right. Amen.
So that's what the belt of truth is trying to get us to see. We have to birth things that are of God. We have to birth that which is true and relational. And everything we do probably has some element of relational, of relation. And so we have to determine. I started thinking about this. I was like, well, let me look at my job. Dang, it's relationships related to that. I can't do that outside of relationship. Well, let me look at having an intimate relationship with somebody. Well, that's two people. You still got relationship. Well, what about my children? What about everything I turned around and looked at was based in some sort of relationship. So what God is saying to us is that we need to understand God's word so we can sieve everything through that word to know whether it's truth or based on a lie. So if we stand for truth, we have to do so. Jones' word is without compromise. Stand for truth without compromise with our conscious commitment to Jesus. We got to put on truth. That's what it is. It's when we put on the belt, we're putting on truth. We're putting on Christ. And that's what you need to think of in the morning when you wake up and you putting on your clothes. I don't know about you, but you put on one leg at a time. You put on your armor a little at a time, right? You don't just throw it all on one time. So you need to consciously go, okay, God, I'm wrapping this belt of truth around me, and I'm ready. And so what we learned last week is that we could depend on the belt of truth because it's what protects and keeps us from being wounded in battle or killed. And so it protects those vital organs from the knives, from the swords, from the arrows. That's why we played the song, no weapon formed against us would prosper. And so that's what we want. We don't want anything that the enemy can come up with to prosper. So we want to protect any of those organs in there, any of that, so that it's founded in truth by putting on Christ. And so that's what I wanted to remind us about as far as the truth from last week was the belt and how it was designed for us. I want to say three more things just to remind us, and then I'm going to pass it to Ms. Shirley. It said, look at the three of the most striking, sharpening each other relationships in the Bible, and I'm just going to mention them. It talked about the life of David. And he said, is there anyone left in the house of Saul? And he did that for Jonathan's sake. He took care of Jonathan. Even Jonathan had, he asked for Jonathan's sake. And it was Ziba, Jonathan's son. What was Jonathan's son's name? I don't remember his name. What was it? Mephibosheth. That was it. Mephibosheth. His son Mephibosheth, but he asked Ziba, who was, I think it was the servant leader, who was the person who was in, who was taking where Jonathan's son was. So that's a relationship that was formed. And there could have been a lie there, but that's not what happened. Authentic truth came forth. Even Mephibosheth told the truth. And so it was okay to forge that bond, to have that closeness. Because it was based on truth. And I don't know about y'all. Y'all remember how much David loved him? There was such authenticity in that relationship. And that's what I remember about this relationship. It says that David and Jonathan's relationship, Mephibosheth's relationship, shared some of the basic concepts of salt or friendship covenant that they had in those days. And that salt covenant is where you shared resources with each other's family as needed and protected and defended each other through anything that might come. Y'all got anybody in your life like that? That you're willing to go to battle and protect them regardless? We don't have those kind of relationships like we used to. But, you know, I grew up and my family is kind of crazy. I'm a descendant of the Hatfield and McCoy, so it was the Hatfield. but our family was, and I'm still this way today. If I'm going down the street and I see Miss Shirley, and Miss Shirley's in need of something or something, Miss Shirley don't look like she's doing well, or somebody's harassing Miss Shirley, I'm gonna pull up, Miss Shirley. You need to get a car. That's the way I was raised.
Yeah.
You take care of your family. The family could be the village that you were raised in. And so I think we have to, as children of God, as God's children, take care of each other. And sometimes we got to remember that salt covenant, that type of agreement that we have to protect and care for one another. I feel that way about y'all. I love you each, and I pray for you strongly that everybody in our Bible study is successful financially, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. And I hope y'all are praying the same thing for me. And then
Amen.
They talked about Ruth. Ruth was another example. And Tamar, Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz, they were an example. And then the last example that they had in the Bible was that of Esther. I thought she was so regal. She risked everything for her family, for her Jewish family. And so we need to understand if we can put on the belt of truth, we're putting on Christ. And if we have Christ, then that's enough.
Amen.
Ms. Shirley.
The next piece of armor we must put on is the daily is the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness.
Amen.
Can you all hear me really good?
We hear you good.
Okay. Roman soldiers will wear a. Yeah, I hear.
So let's do this.
Background.
Do this. Can everybody put your phone on mute while Ms. Shirley's talking, and let's see if that gets rid of the background noise.
Roman soldiers will wear a heart protector, usually a piece of bronze that would cover the neck to the middle of their chest. Often there would be a piece to cover their back as well. The idea of a heart protector, in ancient times, the heart was thought to be the center of one's mind, emotions, will, and intellect. It is the center of who we are. A soldier knew the enemy would certainly go for the heart if he could, so it was vital that it would be protected. Satan is a master warrior. He will go for our heart every time. He works on our mind and emotions. He tries to bend our will and intellect until we think and act like him. Our heart is a prime satanic target. How then do we protect our heart? God tells us that it must be protected by righteousness. Righteousness means being in right standing with God, and we can only do that through his son, Jesus Christ. We cannot be righteous on our own. Accepting God's gift of saving grace, blessing in Jesus Christ for our salvation is the only way to be righteous. Just like the Roman
Amen.
Soldier who would... Just like the Roman soldier who would put on his breastplate, we must put on Christ. Righteousness that saves us from an eternity separated from God and adopts us into God's eternal family is a once and done thing. We do not have to be resaved every day. It is ours and can never be taken away. But God in Ephesians 6:14 tells us to put on the breastplate of righteousness every day. How can that be?
You know, Ms. Shirley, I've had people who would say, I don't understand that righteous piece because I'm not righteous. It's nothing. And that's the key of what you just said is that righteous which is impugned or imparted to us.
Right.
From what Jesus, the act that Jesus did for us on the cross. It's not anything that we ourselves have. And a lot of people get that mixed up. That's so important that
right.
that righteousness that breastplate is issued to each of us repentant sinners. Isn't that awesome? It's like if you can imagine yourself receiving it from the Lord, hallelujah, at salvation when we accept Him. I take my breastplate, Lord. I want my righteousness.
Right. Amen. Just like we dress in clothes to be presentable to the world every day, we must also consciously put on our Christ clothing righteousness daily. We must show Christ at the world in what we do and say and how we act every day. And like Jesus, we must be humble and loving and kind in His righteous breastplate. Being ready.
Amen.
Do you get up each morning before you start your day dressed in your battle-ready gear with the purpose of victoriously standing firm and meeting the day head-on? Or do you go out into daily hand-to-hand combat, defenseless and unaware, to be knocked off holy ground, beaten up, pierced through the heart, and rolled up in the trouble of the day? The answer to those questions is literally the difference of win or lose, life or death. What is the breastplate of righteousness in the Bible? Like a Roman breastplate, this breastplate protects our vital organs spiritually. Whenever we enter the battlefield, Satan will attempt to pierce our most vulnerable areas. Therefore, God armed with the breastplate of righteousness to prevent Satan from delivering a fatal blow. This righteousness, God's holiness and perfection, comes to us through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross. Because Jesus takes our place in living the life we should have lived and dying the death we deserve to die, He offers a covering of righteousness to block out the devil's attack on our hearts and souls. The passages in Ephesians intend to encourage us to put on the armor regularly, not as just a one-time deal. You may say, I thought once we... Uh-huh.
I had a question. You were talking about, you made a statement when you were saying that we should, that Christ was on the cross and died for us, for what we should have died for. Can you explain that a little bit? Can you talk about that piece? Because I think a lot of people don't understand that.
Because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took on all of our sins when He died on the cross. And then His resurrection, you know. Those are things that He spared us from having to do or to deal with. He took that on Himself.
But why would we have to die on the cross? Why would we have to die, though?
We would have, well, if there was no sin, if God never
sinned,
which we know that, God never sinned. We as humans in flesh, we sin.
That's right.
So God took it upon Himself to die on the cross for our sins. And
because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. And we have to have something to pay for the sin.
Right.
Something has to pay for the sin that we commit.
Right. Because Jesus died on the cross for us. So that's how he paid for our sins.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
So the passages in Ephesians intend. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, so for those people who don't have a relationship with God, the reality is that you're sinning, that you fall short every day of the glory of God. And so the only way that you know, because of the sin that you have, it's like God can't be in relationship with you. It's like how you feel about a skunk. You smell a skunk, you're not going to want to be around them. So what do? When you get around skunks? Well, you
want to kill them.
What do they tell you to get rid of the skunk? They tell you to put tomato juice, blood on.
Tomato.
So Jesus covers us just like the funk of a skunk is covered with tomato juice. His blood covers us. He died on the cross and shed his blood to cover all of our funk, all of our sin, because God can't stand sin, so we can't be in God's presence. Because of that, that's how we get imparted that righteousness, because we have to pay for the sin. Something's got to pay for that sin. So Christ took it upon himself to pay for us. That's a free gift, a free gift that he did because of his love for us.
Right.
Amen.
Right. So the passages in Ephesians tends to encourage us to put on the armor regularly, not just a one-time deal. You may say, I thought once we were saved, we are always saved. Yes, but righteousness does not mean saying a prayer once and then going on with our lives as though nothing has changed. Justification comes through a one-time commitment to Christ. Sanctification, the act of God shaping us to become more like him, happens over a lifetime. I'll say that again. The act of God shaping us to become more like him happens over a lifetime.
Amen. So are you saying that what postures us is the fact that we become set apart, we become sanctified. And when we become sanctified, we're set apart for the Lord and we're put in a position of, so that we're set aside for God, but we're in a position, once we've accepted Christ, we're in a right position with him, so we don't have to worry anymore. We're in the process of becoming what God wants us to be. And as a result of accepting Christ.
Right. And to be more like him, it's a lifetime. We have to work at it. Just like praying and standing in the word and keeping the faith, that's a lifetime.
Amen. Amen. And it doesn't mean that we're not going to fall short, because we're human. And as long as we're in this fleshly body, we're going to have sin, which is why we need the blood of Jesus to cover us, because we are faulty.
Right. And that's why it takes a lifetime, because we can be backsliders. We can be backsliders. That's the human nature of the flesh. We can be a backslider. But God is a forgiving God.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. That's so key, Ms. Shirley, because we have our radio audience, people who don't know anything about Christ. They don't understand anything about forgiveness and sin and why we need to do this. And this is so germane. So thank you for sharing that and helping us understand our relationship to God and what we got to do to get in a right relationship, to be able to carry that righteousness that God has given us when we accept him.
And he hears our prayers. He hears out. He gives us forgiveness. He is a forgiving God. So he hears us when we say we're sorry, or we're sorry that we have sinned against him, or we are sorry that we've done this. He hears this. So he's a forgiving God. So that's why it's a lifetime. Our flesh makes us think that, we should just go and continue on the road that we're on. No, you lose your soul. That's death. You lose your soul.
So are you telling me that when you said I sinned against God, if I sinned against you, Miss Shirley, if I cut you out and beat you down, did I sin against you or God?
You sinned against both of us because you're supposed
to
love.
That's exactly right. When we do sin, when we commit an act, it's also against God.
Right.
specifically when we have said we belong to him and we're going to allow God to lead, guide, and direct us, we're going totally opposite against what he's teaching.
Amen. When we use the breastplate of righteousness, we must first come to accept that righteousness does not come from good works. Isaiah 64:6, we are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither, fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind. It does not matter how often. Go ahead.
So could you say that one more time about the righteous deeds? Say that piece one more time.
When we use the breastplate of righteousness, we must first come to accept that righteousness does not come from good works. And Isaiah 64:6 says, we are infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither, fall, and our sins sweep us away like the wind.
So Brother Jerry, get off of mute, and Joan, y'all get off of mute for a second. So I got a question for you guys. She said righteousness doesn't come from good works. What does that mean?
It means that you're not going to go to heaven and you're not going to be righteous with God just because you're a good person. You need more to it than just a good person, or because your father was a minister and did good work and things like that. There's more to it than that.
So you're trying to tell me you good people don't go to heaven, huh?
You got to be committed.
Not what I'm saying. I'm saying that's not the only thing that's going to get you to heaven.
So I guess what I heard is that being a good person won't get you to heaven. What gets you to heaven is if you receive what God has done for you as a free gift. That's what gets you in heaven. It ain't nothing
Amen.
You can do. And the only way you can receive the gift is to receive Christ.
Right.
Amen.
That's the free salvation, because then he gives you the righteous breastplate to put on.
Right.
I like that analogy,
Amen.
Ms. Shirley. That's good. I'm going to hold on to that. Ooh. Lord, give me my stuff. Amen.
That's what they call it. No, you have to be enthusiastic. This is Joan from Maine. You have to be enthusiastic. You read it, you write it, you say it, you preach it, and it rubs into your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Shirley.
And this is Joan from Maine. I also wanted to say that righteousness is already given. It was already a gift, but it's up to us to take care of it. Because of the sin that we do, the righteousness becomes, it eliminates or it disappears. So we need to repent. We have to accept. We have to bow down and go back. How do you call it? We have to strive in the right way all the time and be diligent.
Right. It's a gift that we get as salvation when we accept Christ. That's when we get the gift. But you got to do something with it. That's exactly right. You got to put it on.
And to explain it more, it doesn't matter how often we attend church or how much community service we do or how often we read the Bible. If we do not walk the path God has set before us to walk, our good works have no value. That being said, once saved, God does give us the Holy Spirit to steer us in the way of righteousness, away from sin.
Amen. And we got to be obedient. Obedience is better than sacrifice.
Right. Right. So.
Amen.
We use the breastplate of righteousness by turning to God when we face temptation. James 4, verse 7. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and be well, and he will flee, and he will flee from you. Whenever we encounter temptation, we need to turn to God. Guarding our hearts against the devil's scheme. The breastplate protects our heart, our most vulnerable organ. In a Christian understanding, it is the wellspring of life. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Satan is the wellspring of death. If we put on the breastplate of righteousness, we avoid the blows that will lead to spiritual death and come from sin. Avoid what may ensnare us. Uh-huh.
Can I give an illustration of that, what you just said? The heart is a, when you were talking about protect the heart, because if you don't, then the enemy can use that.
Yes.
I don't know how many times, you know, I can honestly tell you, as a mother, I lost a child. And I don't know how many people don't like God today because they lost a child. How could God? Why would God? How did he allow? Why? And it's, that's why he says, guard your heart. Because once that is broken or taken, or he wants to make you not trust God anymore. He wants to separate you from anything that would allow you to put your faith or trust in God. That is, once he hits and sears that heart, he got you. Because, and that's an illustration I was trying to give you about, you know, because I lost a child. And I remember, you know, I was angry with God, disappointed. I was more, not so much angry, it was more disappointed that God didn't give me my way like a little kid. You know, Dad, you said, Mama, you said, why come I didn't get my way?
Right.
You know.
Right.
And right. And that's from a strong Christian feeling like that. So when people don't have a relationship with God that's solid, they immediately like, oh, I'm done, because God didn't care nothing about me. He allowed that drunk driver to hit my daughter's car and took my baby's life. So I'm done with
God. Yeah. We give up. That's why we have to protect our hearts, because we give up. God makes no mistakes, and our flesh causes us with the heart to automatically turn our back on God. But there's a reason for things that happen, and who are we to question God? You know, he makes no mistakes. He could be protecting us from something further down the line. But the devil wants
we
to
don't
make
know.
Him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. The devil wants to make him out. Well, see, I told you, you know.
Yep.
That's why you ought to come
yep.
over here with me. You know? That's where we most vulnerable. He gets us in our heart,
yeah.
our emotions. Our heart is our emotions and our intellect, our mind. That heart carries a lot. It affects our mind, our emotions, the intellect that we have. So that's the first place he's going to attack.
That's deep.
Yeah, so, you know, we have to guard against it. And it gets hard because, I mean, you know, God knows what's best for us. We don't know what's best for us, but he knows what's best for us. And he makes no mistakes as far as I'm concerned. He makes no mistakes.
Amen. Amen.
You know,
amen.
That's
amen.
Why he gave us this roadmap of the Holy Bible, to stay in it, to understand why certain things happen. You know?
And you
and
know, it's
brother,
so hard for us. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Hey, and I want to build on what the sister was saying.
that the devil uses our emotions and things of that sort. Well, it's the same thing with the people that the devil uses to do his work. Like,
right.
Yah has people that do his work. Like, so if you look at all of us who do the Father's work, we do it in the same manner. We use patience. You know, we use emotions, but in a different way. We don't play on them. We point those out to people, how they can be destructive toward them. But what the devil does, and his minions, his people, they use emotions just like what's going on today. They use fear as a tactic. They use horror movies to scare you what the devil looks like. Horror movies are simply to make you fear the devil. So everything is to go against what Yah has told us to do. But it uses our emotion. Even though spirit is spirit, it also characterized as emotion or plays itself out like an emotion. So his people do the same thing to get us to do whatever it is they want us to do, even government.
That's right. And, you know, and to piggyback off of Brother Mateo's comment, you know, God can, I mean, the devil can use someone close to you, like a minion. And they talking to you, and you harder than an emotion. And they be trying to plant the seed. Well, you know, I wouldn't do this because, you know, that doesn't make no sense to me. You know, what did God do for you? He took the person that you love, you know. So all these people talking in your ear. So you can't, that's why they say guard your heart, because your heart is emotion.
Amen.
It creates attitude.
Yeah.
Amen.
Avoiding what may ensnare us. Matthew 5:30 says, and if your hand, even your stronger hand, causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell.
Well, have mercy.
Loud and clear.
Have mercy.
We know. We know what can trigger sin, what can trigger the sin we personally deal with. Maybe it's a certain place, a certain group of people, a certain activity.
Yeah.
No matter what the case is, we need to avoid it, if possible. Anything that can entice us in. Sometimes this may make us odd man out, killjoy, a loser, but we have our spiritual walk at stake. Better to avoid something that can pull us away from God than to compromise our spiritual safety.
Amen.
Since righteousness comes from Jesus alone, he has had some things to say about the subject while here on earth. Jesus said the following about righteousness. We should seek righteousness. Matthew 6:33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously and be well, and he will give you everything you need. We should pursue it. When we accept Jesus as our Savior, we should actively want to be transformed, sanctified life, transformed into sanctified life. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. Matthew 5:6 says, God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice, for they will be satisfied.
Amen.
Those who want to pursue God and want to pursue righteous lives will find such lives through him. Righteousness comes through Jesus Christ alone. John 3:16 says, for this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believed in him will not perish but have eternal life. After all, no one is righteous. Romans 3:10 says, no one is righteous, not even one. We cannot attain right living and salvation on our own. As for righteousness, the Bible has several symbols that represent it. The Christians can identify with Christ dying on the cross, his death and his resurrection. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no division in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. If we do not protect ourselves with righteousness, we open ourselves up to attack from the enemy and can fall into sin. To be righteous means to obey God's commandments and live a way that is honorable to him. Psalm 106, verse 3, how blessed are those who keep justice, who practice righteousness at all times. Unfortunately, our sinful nature often gets in the way of living an upright life. When we decide to live based on our own desires rather than God, we make decisions that are harmful to ourselves and others. Romans 8:6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. How can we put on the breastplate of righteousness? We can start by being knowledgeable of God's word, which will allow us to understand how to live righteous life. When trials and tribulations come our way, we can base our decision on his word. In addition, through prayer, we can ask God to empower us to resist living in sin and to do what is right according to him. 1 John 3:22 says, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey and do the things that please him. As Christians, we can put on the breastplate of righteousness in our daily lives and becoming aware of the decisions we make. We can determine whether they are based in God's word. In addition, we can ask him to give us the strength to live righteously. Ultimately, this will allow us to withstand attacks from the enemy and live in ways that glorify Christ. Christianity is a walk in righteousness. What is righteousness? It is the nature of God in you, producing the rightness of God, the ability to do right, to fulfill, and the will of the Father. God is always right. It is his nature to be right. This nature is righteousness is at work in us. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption.
Go ahead. Do we have to make a decision every day operate in righteousness? So it doesn't happen automatic.
No, it's a test. It's a test for us because we deal with the flesh and we deal with principalities that are beyond our control.
But making those decisions have to become where we have to be able to make them quickly.
Right. Yeah.
For justice, for righteousness' sake. We have to be willing to say, yes, Lord, and it should become so automatic like breathing if we're a child of God. We have to make a conscientious decision to live like that on a daily basis. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Especially to be a child of God,
Practice makes perfect.
That's right, Sister Joan. It does. And I know it gets hard.
Yes, it does. Amen. You know, I like that scripture. Go ahead, because we don't know. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No,
make that statement, then I'll say something about you, because we don't. Go ahead, complete your thought.
Yeah, well, no, that just goes back to when I said each morning do we wake up and get started the day by dressing the battle and gearing up for the purpose of standing firm and meeting the day head on? Do we do that?
Right.
That starts with a morning prayer the moment before your feet hit the floor. Dear Lord,
Amen.
Give me a safe passage back and forth to work. Thank you for waking me up this morning and giving me mercy to calm my sleep. You know, so we have to prepare for a battle every day.
Amen. I you made me realize, I was thinking in the text it was talked about how we are the ones who determine whether we seek David to be cleansed or pursue the will of God. And it said that the heart's desire, my heart, I have to desire to live in a way that's pleasing to God, because the enemy is going to do everything he can to wound me, to wound my heart, to destroy me, to bend me away from the Lord towards sin. And so David, I don't know about y'all, I love that song, Creating Me a Clean Heart.
Yeah.
Give me a clean heart and I'll follow thee. You know, because it says, creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew. Renew. A steadfast, meaning a very devoted, a steadfast spirit within me. And so I pray that constantly. Lord, give me strength, you know, to protect my heart. My heart.
Yeah.
My heart. And I didn't realize that until, Ms. Shirley, you started talking about that, how I have to, just like I'm at protecting my organs with the belt of truth and putting on Christ.
Right.
I have to protect my heart.
Right.
Likewise. And understand it's the heart's desire that has to be bent toward the Lord as well and protected so that the enemy cannot destroy me. Cannot destroy me, because that's his goal, as you said.
Right.
So
how...
How about the lungs? How do the lungs impact us? How do, you know, you say it protects the vital organs, the lungs and the heart. And, you know, I know one of the things I liked about the idea is when you talked about the heart, and I thought, you know, man, you know, I breathe every day. So what do I inhale and what do I exhale? You know, if the air we breathe is poisonous, then our body's going to suffer, right? But we have to be willing. We have to be willing to exhale, because we can't breathe. This is what it was saying. If the air we breathe is poisonous or polluted, our bodies suffer. In like manner, if we continually put ourselves in evil, unwholesome, negative environments, we cannot help breathing in that stuff into the spiritual environment. We can pollute our spirits. And so that's like saying, if you go to the movie all the time and you're watching all this evil horror stuff, don't think that stuff ain't rubbing off and getting in your spirit.
And
you
your
know,
mind.
It's what you choose in your mind. It's what you choose to breathe in. And we have to choose to not do porn. We have to choose to not do things that are going to pollute us, but the things that will put us in right standing in the spiritual path of God.
Right.
So I thought that was really deep, that I'm, you know, all these good things to take home. You know, don't listen to filthy jokes. It's not funny. It's not funny that people say, and it don't even have to be filthy. There can be racial jokes. We shouldn't be listening to those. We shouldn't let that come into our spirit. We shouldn't allow people to feel that we can accept that. And we have to speak up and not allow those negative things to come into our spirit. All right. I'm going to let you close, Ms. Shirley, with your last few things you want to say or whatever.
Well, the last thing I want to say, there's a prayer that I found for the protection of breastplate of righteousness. And
yes, ma'am.
I'll close with that prayer. Heavenly Father, no one is righteous, not one. But you have given us the gift of righteousness to follow the path you have set before us and to avoid the snare of temptation and sin set up by the devil. Help us to pursue you today. Whenever we encounter temptation, help us to find a way out. Steer us away from situations or places which may tempt us more to sin. And when we are tempted, remind us of your goodness and that you are the way of life. No matter what these temptations may promise, they cannot promise us eternal life, joy, or love, which comes from you alone. Arm us with the breastplate of righteousness today so we may be ready when Satan unleashes heavy torrents of blows on the battlefield. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we have come to the point in our Bible study where we want to ask our radio audience and the people who are listening, do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you have the ability to be given the breastplate of righteousness through salvation? And the way that you get that is that you offer a prayer, a simple prayer by saying, Lord, I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me and rose again that I might have life and live it abundantly. I believe and I receive. I receive all that God wants to give me. And when you accept the Lord, you believe he died and rose again, he's at the right hand with the Father, that he'll take us home. When you believe that, just praise God because you are a part of the family of Christ. That's all it takes. It's nothing major.
Amen.
And once you've accepted that in your heart, once you believe that and you've decided to live for the Lord, then he will give you your breastplate to wear every day. He will give you the belt of truth that you can strap around you to make sure you know what to take in and to eliminate. God will provide you with the armor in which you can wear that will shun the darts and derail the darts of the enemy. And so tonight we just ask, as you pray that prayer, that you accepted the Lord, and we celebrate with you because even the angels are celebrating because you accepted the Lord. So we ask that you send us an email at drsusie.loveconnection, drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com. And if you'll do that and let us know that you've accepted Christ, we will celebrate, continue to lift you up in prayer, call out your name, and know that you will be with us during the Bible study, and we'll celebrate
Amen.
That with you.
Amen.
We're preparing to close, and we ask that you get in a Bible-believing church, and as you do so, that you would accept him and be baptized, and then continue to join us here at Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Brett.
Amen.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Susie. For everybody, mark your calendars or set a reminder that every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you need to call in to 646-478-4932, where you will be taught the authoritative Word of God. Listen or be active in the conversation. We are here for you, lifting up the Word of God. If you do not know the Word of God, get to reading a book that is about love, intrigue, mystery, celebration, and salvation for your soul. It's called the Bible. Please invite a friend again, a relative or a stranger. Reverend Dr. Susie is the host and moderator, 646-478-4932. 4932 is the only number you will need. Until next week, be protective in the grace of God, and have a great evening. Good night.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Great job, everybody. Thank you for sharing.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.